At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Yeah, it's probably going to be garbage.
It is garbage. February 28th.
Shut up, Dan. He's talking.
2022, and this is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast. I don't know that we've had an episode this year where you guys have let me do the intro uninterrupted.
We're going to keep that train a-rolling, baby. Yeah, it's working so far.
I should not have let the cat out of the bag, I guess. It is what it is.
Sorry. I just had to roll my eyes. There we go.
Thank you for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening here in Atlanta, Georgia. Wherever you are, if you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button, notification bell icon, and smash that like. Just get notified whenever we go live and just spread it.
We're three away from 500.
Yeah, we're three away from 500. Just make it happen.
Brittany S. logged in with her mom's YouTube account. She's getting all these weird notifications now.
Getting all the burner accounts. Yeah. Turn them and burn them. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, over to my right on the stream. And Mr. Dan James, back from his trip, his sojourn back home to England. Did you go back
home? It only took World War III for you to get back.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it was great. Thanks, Tim. My trip to bury my grandmother was great. Thank you, Tim.
Yikes.
Just keep on milking that one.
Woof. that's a collar stretcher, is I think what we refer to that as. If you got another just housekeeping note, leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. And we know the majority of our listeners that listen to the audio are listening to us on podcast, and we see those numbers. We have far fewer ratings than we do have listeners.
We're only like 10 away from 200 on there.
Yeah. So if you would be so kind, I know you guys are, don't do it while you're driving. Don't do it while you're in your commute.
Oh, it's Talisker. It's a man's drink.
But anyway, just make sure you do that. What?
Daniel.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard that Tokyo drifting that's going on outside my neighborhood, but it's...
Better get on next door now, man.
Yeah, no. I got to complain about something or complain about people complaining. It's just this crazy fun loop that next door is...
Even when you get off of Twitter, it's still there.
Yeah. Carl Seggie, first in the trap. Kendrick Brock, Elliot Beaven, Jay Hennepin.
Ooh.
We got some names here.
Clark Brewer giving us some Facebook love.
We got Richard Gordon, Edgar Hernandez. Yeah, we're live tonight on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, giving us, you know, a little more, I don't know. I don't think many people are watching us on Twitch. We're not playing video games. So anyway, we got Clayton Poss, Edgar Hernandez, Nathan Explosion, Haleto Joey. We got Brent Crawford. We got Brittany S. Matt Wisniewski. We got Michelle, Brandon Scott. Just bringing the love.
Playing video games yet. Dan. Your boys have a Switch, right?
They do.
We talked about it while you were away, but Mario Strikers is making a return in June, so I'm assuming you're going to be picking that up.
Oh, really? Yeah, absolutely. I'll be picking that up.
Yeah.
I cannot beat my kids at Super Smash Brothers, so hopefully we'll
I feel like that's a little kid's game, right? Like, I don't mean that in like it's geared towards children, but I feel like kids are so much better at that game than we are. Like, their brains are so much better equipped for a frenetic pace You know what I mean? Like, I feel like those, I think Doom and Wolfenstein, would, if it weren't so violent, it would be great for little kids because of how frenetic that those games are. Or Quake. All right, that's what I'm waiting for. When are we going to put on the Home Before Dark Quake Online tournament? Because
like original Quake or Quake 3?
So I think it's called Quake Online is a port or a, like a reboot of Quake. Not even a reboot, just like a resurrection of Quake 3. This happened when we were in college. So it's probably, I don't even know if it's still on, but that game was so much fun to play.
I just remember Quake, the original one with a nail gun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's the nail gun, the frat or the, I'm thinking of Unreal with the flat cannon. Unreal Tournament. Anyway,
I didn't really get into Unreal Tournament too much. So.
Yeah, anyway. We got Will Bowron in the trap.
Soccer.
We got Matthew Talbot joining us. It's just a good day. Clayton Paw saying my Moe's burrito was very good today with $3 off, which I've heard inflation has taken a toll on. Somebody in our Slack was saying $3 off and it still cost me like $4.50 or something like that for.
But you get 6 pounds of tortilla to go with that.
Six pounds of constipation to go with that.
Just opposite.
Yeah. Ooh, we got Eric Quintana, the man, the legend, E-Quizzle. You're calling yourself E-Quizzle. Okay.
He's joining us from the press box.
Yeah. It's just, can you see us from up there? That's the question.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah, man. It's holy crap.
What a way to open up this.
I don't want to be forever the pessimist. I don't want to be forever the pessimist. But we lost our home opener, or we lost the opener whenever we won the title, right? So
it's true.
Yeah. So I don't think we're going to make the playoffs.
That's right. Pineda out.
Yeah. Pineda
out.
Oh my God. Dude, like how, like, let's just get into it. Like, how awesome is it to have an MLS savvy manager? I feel like I just think that came into play and just being able to, being able to pivot with the injury to Luis Araujo and like being able to bring in Dom Dwyer and just kind of switch to not even switch to a two striker system. So necessarily, I don't know. Like
I think it goes beyond just what he did during the game. You want to talk about a MLS, you know, tactician. I think it goes with the lineup itself, getting Dom Dwyer on a 2-year deal, getting Ozzy in the lineup, getting these players that have got MLS experience that are veterans in this lineup to come in and have huge showings in their, you know, season opener. So
no, agreed. Yeah.
It's I was shocked. I was not confident going into this game when I realized how many starters we were down.
So, yeah, let's talk about that. Who was missing? We were missing Thiago Almada. We're missing Franco Ibarra. We're missing Santiago Sosa, Alan Franco. Who else was missing? I feel like
several. Several weren't missing. They came in later on, but Moreno was on the bench originally. Mm-hmm. Brooks Lennon was on the bench originally. So those are two others that got play time, got minutes, but were not in that starting 11.
Right. I mean, They blew away my expectations. I thought we were going to lose that game, but it wasn't that we were just good. I mean, we dominated in pretty much every aspect of the game. I think I was surprised that they ended up having more possession than we did. I thought my initial reaction was I thought we had more than they did, but it was a great game plan. Joseph hanging back a little in a more center forward, false nine position, totally pulled Kansas City defense around.
He was just a vacuum for Kansas City the entire game. I mean, just anywhere he went. I mean, that's what led to both of those first two goals. I mean, was just his ability to draw those players in and then leave, and almost a couple others. I mean, Dom Dwyer, I tweeted about it even because he had a great opportunity that was squandered just moments before he scored his actual goal. But he had several where he could have easily had a brace, if not a hat trick, in that match. And those are all related to Joseph's ability to pull those defenders in that back line, including obviously the Araujo goal, which wasn't really so much him pulling defenders as much as it was just a cheeky back hill to Araujo in pace, which was fucking phenomenal. Cause he tried it once or twice during the game before that. And he just happened to link up that one for the goal, which was phenomenal.
Yeah. One thing I will say is, like, I felt like Dom Dwyer still, for coming into a game cold, hit that first shot pretty well. Like, it wasn't that far off. Mm-mm. It's not like he completely shanked it, and it was not.
No.
I mean, he hit it on a half volley, if I'm not mistaken, and just being able to hit that one time, it was like, he looked pretty sharp.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just, I mean, the way he took on the defender to score his goal, he just did his job, went around the guy and stuck it right in there. It was really good to see a striker who isn't Joseph Martinez having that amount of confidence on the ball and capitalizing on an opportunity.
I feel like he came in with a massive chip on his shoulder in front of that crowd.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
There's no way that chatter, even Mike Conti, listening to the full-time report last night, even Mike Conti was like admitting that he had some sort of bias against Dom Dwyer. And it was more so just like kind of resistance to the signing, just because of how much damage Dom Dwyer had done to us in the bends, playing for Orlando, playing his best soccer in an Orlando shirt was always against us, I felt like. But I mean, wouldn't you do that when the SGs are like just complaining, or not even the SGs? I won't even just throw it at them, but everybody's just like, why would we do this? I mean, we were saying on the show, it's like, I felt like this was found money if he scores any goals. Like, it's absolutely.
He did exactly what you want him to do in that situation. And again, that's where it goes back to what Pineda's been able to do with some of the signings that they've gotten in the offseason, is to bring in these veteran MLS players that came in and made a huge impact and a big difference whenever Atlanta United really needed them most last night during the match, because with the injuries and everything else that we had, there was no way we would have been able to do what we did without that leadership and that tenure within the league.
Yeah. I feel like he went above and beyond my expectations for what he would do, quite frankly, for the season in that one game. I did not expect much out of him at all, but I love it when we pick up our rivals' players, and because anything positive that they do is kind of a finger in the eye to the rival. So
we had a really good run with Miram.
Justin Miram,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have any problems with that at all. I mean, no player is off limits if you're looking to bring them in. So, really, really happy with this performance. Such a massive upgrade over Kubo Torres. The other thing it got me thinking about was, since Luca Martinez Dupuy has, that negotiation has completely fallen through, and both teams are walking away from it, it gives Atlanta a little bit of pause and to able to think about exactly what they want to spend that U22 slot on. And initially my gut reaction is we want to spend it on some left wing depth potentially, but we've seen with the depth that we have already, because it was basically a depth team that we put out there apart from a few players, but they performed admirably well against us. You know, I know they don't have Pulido, but that was a strong Kansas City side, and Tim Melia is no slouching goal.
No, that's for sure. He's a big dude too, and I feel like he has stood on his head a couple times playing against us in the past. And the fact that, like, that's what made me, I don't know, I was super happy with Dwyer's goal, because it was the composure to get it past in that position, whenever you have a big lumbering goalkeeper coming out at you, like a veteran coming out at you at the box like that, and being able to just calmly lift it over him and place it. I, yeah, I was thoroughly impressed with the side yesterday. You guys care if we get some comments from the trap in here?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I was going to kind of go off the Dwyer stuff. Will Bowron obviously jokingly saying, always rated Dom Dwyer personally. I've never shit on him ever. Nope, definitely not me. Carl Seggy, hot take. Dwyer will hit 15 this year. Let's slow that down a little bit. Watching him without any ire involved shows how good of a player he is, especially off the ball. I think that is one thing. You saw a lot of good movement from him getting in positions to create chances or have somebody create chances
and
for
playing
him.
A position that he's not naturally, you know, he's not a right winger, right? So it's, I mean, that's basically the position.
Yes, well, I don't know his politics, Kevin. I don't.
Oh, okay. All right. He's
had to bring it up
so bad.
So, I mean, we played with two up top for a little bit. I mean, there was,
yeah, but he certainly drifted around quite a bit.
It was a fluid formation for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. But it was nice to see two guys up top for, you know, 5 minutes, however it was. But I think he plays across the top line in his career anyway.
Yeah,
no, agreed. And that's what he said on because Jason and Mike Conti talked to him after the game yesterday, and that's what they kind of, they were alluding to that. And he's like, well, you know, I've never really had a preferred side being up there. And that's right. Like, he's not an out and out winger, but he's a forward, right? Like, he can play on any either side and he can play up the middle. What like, I always love inverted wingers. Or inverted forwards and being able to like turn in like he did yesterday on his left, on his strong left foot. I mean, it's always advantageous for our team. Let's see. Jay,
I just love seeing it. Oh. I mean, it's just great to see him not only just get the goal and get it in space, but to take it one-on-one with a defender, which is always nice to have players that can do that and do that comfortably and not just come up against a defender and then feel like they're running into a wall, you know?
Right. And then, like, I think last week, whenever we recorded and we were talking positively about the signing, and everybody's like, well, he hasn't scored since 2019, whatever. And you would think with that track record and probably having that both in the back of your head and then seeing that online, because there's no doubt he hasn't, you know, there's no doubt he's seen that online, where you think his confidence would, he would have the yips. Like, he'd be so prone to have the yips in that situation, I think. You know, breaking a 14-game duck, something like that, at least.
Yeah.
You know, the 14 games with Toronto last year. And just being able to first game, new team, whatever, just still having the confidence to not just take shots, but to be able to turn a guy and to be able to put a ball in the back of the net from there. I think it's fantastic.
Do you remember, remember when we had Felipe on here last season? And he was talking about, you know, he was talking about Bello and Lennon, how they can't really go up the wing and take players on. So it's nice now that we potentially have that in Dwyer, who has that confidence to do that and the ability to.
So. Yeah, no, for sure. I was just going to add a couple more things in here from the Dom Dwyer talk. Jay Hannibal saying Dwyer's out here taking ankles. One of the sentiments from Will Bowron and Brent Crawford, same thing, Dwyer could have had three. I disagree that it was an easy wide open. I mean, it was wide open, but it was not necessarily an easy one on the first one. Joseph Martinez coming for most assists of the year. He's got two in the first match.
Crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. That back heel to Araujo was fantastic.
That was beautiful. Beautiful.
Carl Seggy just harping more on, you know, just laying more love on Dom Dwyer, saying Dwyer's in-game IQ is impressive. And I would agree with that. It's just, he's far better. Clayton Paul saying he's far better than Kubo and Adam John. To Will Bowron's point, the bar is kind of low in that situation. But not to talk too much about this, but in MLS, you don't really have a lot of room to have a super effective backup striker. You know what I mean? Like, you spend your money wisely.
Exactly.
You're not going to end up having two-star strikers. So you have to... You got to try and find a diamond in the rough, or try and, like, find a rehab story like Dom Dwyer or something like that to be able to do that. And it just so happened to work. We lost our best player yesterday 20 minutes into the game, and
still no reports on what or how long that's going to be. It's clearly a hamstring injury, but we don't know what the severity of it is, what his return timeline may be. And so I agree, Tim. I think that's, if there's any real pause or cause for concern from yesterday's match, it's that Luis Araujo is out indefinitely, as far as we know right now, with an injury that may be minor, but right now there's just zero news. And I would have hoped to seen something today that they would have gotten back from examination, but knowing how tight-lipped the organization has been in years past with injuries, who knows if we will find anything out anytime soon. So
it's never good to see a guy think that he can go back on and then immediately not be able to continue. And then, and obviously he knows his body, right? And then he thinks that he's fine. And then to see him, at least it seemed like he had tears in his eyes.
Yeah, but he was at least walking, which is good, versus, you know, some of those, it may not be.
You can walk with an ACL tear, Kev.
I don't think your ACL is next to your butt, Dan. I don't know. I know. I just,
you know, you compare it and it's so fresh in Atlanta United fandom's mind seeing Joseph go off in a season opener just 2 years ago. So I think from my standpoint, it's, you're really hoping that's not the case with Luis. And I'm optimistic that he was at least mobile and didn't go down immediately, even though it certainly happened whenever he scored the goal, but he still had his celebration. He tried to play, he went back in, you know, there were some things that took place that it's certainly not a minor injury, but I'm really, really hoping it's not a full on tear or something that would require surgery or something drastic that would be season ending for any reason.
Yeah. God, I hope not. I mean, if we're going to win MLS Cup, we're going to need him.
No kidding.
No, for sure. I mean, you saw just the impact that he had. It wasn't even that. I feel like he had a chance before that too, right? Before he scored that goal. It was good that we didn't seem to miss a beat. And Dan, to your point, when you were talking about like being surprised, I was surprised to hear that we didn't own possession, because I guess I felt like we could at least control tempo and we completely controlled the pace of play and the controlled the field in general. I guess that's like possession without a purpose on their end, if that's the case, because I don't know. I never felt like, I guess whenever Shallowy scored that goal, I was like, fuck. Okay.
That was a great goal. You got to give it to him, though, man. You want to talk about a volley, a jumping volley, no less.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he won Golden Boot last year, but that was Tati Castellanos. Yeah. But he wasn't that far behind, I don't think, last year. He's a hell of a player.
Yeah. He is. He scored on us before, I believe.
No, probably. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, Eric and Mateo both saying, Mateo saying he's played on a torn ACL, not recommended. And Eric saying everybody walks off the field with a torn ACL. Yeah, it sucks. It's definitely, it's worrying. Muscle injuries in general, especially I think from an athletic player, tend to worry me. Yeah. Yeah, a guy who relies so much on his pace like he does and his agility. You don't want to rush that back. I mean, we do have 33 more games, or did they expand the schedule? It's still 34 games in the regular season.
I thought it was 34, but I'm not sure, Tim. Hold on one second.
Yeah.
While you're looking that up, Kev, to your point, Tim, Shallowy got 16 goals and 8 assists last year.
That's got to be up there in terms of like total points, right? It would have to be, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was one of the highest rated players, according to SofaScore.
Yeah, he's a fantastic player for them. Yeah, I was surprised to not see him involved earlier than that goal. Because he didn't get subbed on, right? He played the entire game. He was started.
Yeah, it's 34, Tim.
Yeah, so I felt like we kept him relatively quiet. I mean, we can get to that. Our back line had a hell of a showing, I felt like, yesterday.
Back line played great. Okay, so I'll start with the center backs. Obviously I thought Miles played great, but I was really impressed with George Campbell. Apparently he had a few mishaps here and there, but I thought he got himself out of some awkward situations by shutting runners down inside the area. I was really impressed with George Campbell.
I was not impressed by anyone more than I was with Gutman on that back line. My God, what a showing out of that guy with arguably a goal-saving save, goal-saving tackle, I should say. Goal-saving save is redundant, but a goal-saving tackle on that back line. And just overall, played phenomenally well. So much so that I felt like at the end of the game, he was inside the opposing 18 just to try to get in on goal, just to complete the showing, because he had done so much on defense. He was like, ah, I'll get up top and make a few runs.
Yeah, he was outstanding. And Kevin, so I don't know if this is a hot take at this point. Like, Andrew Gutman is a better player right now for Atlanta United than George Bello would have
been. Oh, absolutely. Again, it's one show. It's one showing. It's a really small sample size.
Yeah,
but
it's recency bias. Yeah.
And
that's not
what
like,
a hell of a
George,
performance.
Yeah, I love George Bello, but the fact that he came in and immediately just stamped his mark on this team.
Oh yeah.
And like just seemingly how important he's going to be for us moving forward. But it also just knowing that, and we'll get to Caleb Wiley, like his exploits later, but knowing that we have Caleb Wiley backing up Andrew Gutman too is another potentially backing him up, right? Because he can play left back or left wing, right? So yeah, just having that in the back of my mind, like I feel a lot better than I would have last season.
I feel like the thing that gives Gutman the edge over Bello, just in a small sample size to me, was that performance he had in a one-on-one where he was just dancing circles around, I forget who it was up top. And like, I've not seen Bello do that in his tenure with the team. And so to see somebody be that poised and that confident on the back line in one-on-one situation was really, really great to see.
Yeah, no, he Miles Robinson, whoever
it was. he shattered that guy's ankles. I forget who that was up there, but it was so good to see it happen.
I mean, to be fair to Bello, I mean, Gutman's 25 and Bello.
No, I know. 90. Yeah,
no, absolutely.
But what I saw, what I thought is Gutman had a more complete performance up and down the entirety of the field. So he was putting in decent crosses. He was tackling in defense and shutting players down. But he was also making himself dangerous in the middle of the field, which we hadn't seen from Bello. Now, not to say that Bello, in his progression, can't outpace Gutman when Bello's 25, but it's a much better fit for the team for where we are now. I mean, I remember we were always and Bello scored that great goal on his first appearance, but we were always talking about how his defense was something that he needed to be worked on, but we would see improvement. I feel
well,
like
you were Gutman, saying forever that he shouldn't even be playing. So that's a whole other thing too.
Well, you know, I mean, bringing in someone as experienced like Gutman seems like a good move. So
yeah, probably would have said Caleb Wiley shouldn't have played last night too.
George Campbell,
betting man.
Yeah.
Well, so if we're going to talk about Wiley, are you? I'm assuming because he scored that goal, you're just penciling him in on for a start.
I'm assuming
game.
You've already written his check at $35 million. Honestly.
Yeah, I don't know how to read Dan and his projections for how these players are going to pan out.
not getting out of bed for 30 million, Tim.
Yeah. Just to speak, George Campbell is, I can't speak highly enough of the kid. Like I think he might be our best prospect on this team. Granted, we've only seen one game of Caleb Wiley, but George Campbell has not stepped, like he's been fantastic every time he's played up against grown ass men in this league. But yeah, the Andrew Gutman thing, like credit where credit's due, right? To Carlos and to Darren to see that we're going to lose Bello in, let's say, 2 years, right? We have to sign somebody. This guy looks really solid. We're going to sign him, loan him out for a year because we foresee Bello going to Europe.
And that was
a
pickup within the league too. You know, you talk about another in-league
from
pickup.
Cincinnati. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did we trade an international slot or something like that for Gutman?
I think
it was like
so.
An international slot or some GAM or something like that, right? And then, or was he part of the Brandon Vasquez? Was it Brandon Vasquez?
I thought it was the international slot for some reason, but
yeah. Anyway, but to be able to have the foresight to see that and to be able to pick up a solid vet, like again, we're talking about Andrew Gutman's age. He's not a guy that you probably see going to another league or trying, like this isn't a stepping stone for him, I don't think, at this point. And to see him be as solid as he is, I don't know, it just makes me super happy. Probably, I would say he's my man of the match from yesterday. Just like Heineken man of the match award that he got. Do they still do guitars?
I don't know.
Man, they should. Know. Maybe with Larry Luke, they'll have something cooler as the creative director. So Gutman was acquired from Celtic, but he had been on loan to Cincinnati, and then we acquired him from there.
And then we loaned him out to Red Bulls, right?
And we acquired him for 70. Well, we acquired the top allocation spot from Cincinnati for 75,000 in GAM. So we didn't play a fee, a traditional fee. We paid for the allocation spot, and then we could pick him up from there. But gotcha. I mean, we played at Celtic. I mean, Celtic are a pretty good team.
Yeah, he was college player of the year at Indiana. Is that where he went to school?
I thought I read that he was from Indiana.
He was
4-year standout at Indiana.
Yeah, yeah, I thought he was collegiate player of the year, something like that. No, solid. Like hardworking too. Like he's quick. He can defend. He can get up the field. Like, yeah, it's hard to hit on a left back in any facet of soccer in the world. Like, I feel like it's just a tough spot to be. And the fact that we kind of nailed that, I just credit Boca Ball, baby, as Will Bowron likes to say. That's
absolutely. So moving into the midfield, I think the one, and I might be the outlier here, I think the one sort of, if I was to pinpoint a player in the lineup that I was maybe underwhelmed by, it'd be Hosetu, just because of where, if it seemed like he was always in the right position to make a play on the ball, but as soon as he got into possession, he was immediately dispossessed or took a bad touch or an errant pass and just couldn't seem to find a rhythm. Like, he was certainly creating spaces and creating opportunities, but just couldn't seem to string the match together with any level of consistency that developed into any greater playmaking ability by the rest of the team around him.
Yeah, I thought he played all right. I mean,
he wasn't terrible. I'm just saying, if I've got to find somebody in the lineup, that would be the one that I thought was maybe just a subpar compared to others that seemed to have such a big standout showing.
I think he was subpar compared to Sadich and Alonso, because Sadich played lights out. He played fantastic. And Alonso, I mean, he is the new Jeff, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He received that yellow card in the first, I don't know, 7 minutes or something like that. And he just cleaned the guy out. Coming in late. That was probably an orange, but,
What is this, some sort of like fake account? The Cooligans watching Home Before Dark? What is this?
I think it's a Russian bot.
Alexis, Christian's going to be mad at you for watching on our watching on the main instead of on your personal. We know it's you. We know it's you asking if this is Dom Dwyer's team now. And then is he saying that solely to start problems in the locker room? Yep.
I mean, as Orlando City, the number one Orlando City podcast, then it is.
I'd like to think we willed this to happen, being the number one.
I think I willed his goal into existence by tweeting that he couldn't score just for him to prove me wrong 3 minutes later. I think they radioed into him. I was like, hey, Home Before Dark's tweeting about this. We got to do something. We got to shut these guys up.
Oh, and then he heard Kevin calling him a right winger. So he has to come out. Yeah, he's going to come out and got to make a statement about that. Hosetu, is a guy that I think probably is not going to be a starter moving forward. I thought Sadich was fantastic, to your point, Dan. I thought that he really didn't put a foot wrong yesterday. And I don't know that Hosetu really had a bad game, right? Like, I think
I don't say that at all. I'm just saying, he would, in a game that seemed to hit everything right for the lineup, he was the one that couldn't seem to build any consistency in his run of play yesterday. That's all I'm saying.
No, for sure. Yeah, that's
it. Wasn't costly or detrimental to the team in any way. He didn't put the team in a position to lose the game based on those errors, but he wasn't outperforming what he was trying to do, basically.
No. And then you see probably somebody like Marcelino Moreno coming in there, right? Or Franco Ibarra, right. Maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe taking that spot, yeah.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I mean, to Brent Crawford's point, he's saying this: there's going to be a lot of competition for minutes in the midfield this year. It's crazy.
It's a good point.
I don't even know if stacked is the right word, because that's talking talent-wise, but it is like very, there's a glut of midfielders on this team. And it is going to be tough for certain guys to get in there and stamp their stamp their place in the starting lineup, because I think from yesterday, Ozzy's got to be starting, right? Like he's looking like he's going to be starting.
He's going to be the anchor.
Yeah,
he's going to be the anchor that's holding on to the other end of Sosa's leash whenever he lets him run, basically.
Yeah, for sure. To Jay Hennebaugh's point, he said, in my opinion, Moreno totally changed the pace of game the moment he stepped in.
I was going to make that exact point tonight.
Men amongst boys. He looked dominant to me yesterday. Like
it only took him playing without two other DPs on the field to make a big difference.
He's like, holy shit, just give me the ball. Let me do something with it. Yeah. He was great though, right? Like,
absolutely.
He didn't assist Wiley, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did. That's right. Yes, he did. He found him with a nice through ball, split two guys with it, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I was trying to remember if that was him or Joseph.
Was Wolf still? I thought it was Wolf to Moreno to Wiley, but Wolf might have been out at that point.
Wolf came out.
He came out for Wiley, I think, didn't he?
Brooks Lennon. Tyler Wolf came out for Brooks Lennon.
That's right.
That was the best Tyler Wolf performance I've seen. I feel like he had not great runs as like whatever 16-17 year old on the team, whenever he's kind of just thrust into the lineup and asked to do stuff.
Can somebody just make a three Wolf Moon shirt with Tyler Wolf's face?
Tyler Wolf. Well, who's the third? Because you would have his dad, him, who else?
No, I just want him howling and different. It's just different headshots.
If we didn't know the fate that awaited us for doing that because of what happened with Iron Tooth, I would be tempted to go down that path of doing a three Wolf Moon with Tyler Wolf. That would be pretty damn fantastic. The fact that Moreno is not a DP is pretty great, because he is DP level, I think, some games. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, it was interesting to me to see him play, to your point, Kevin, without Barco on the field, where he could be the guy. It's like Almiron kind of hindered whatever Barco could do because he needed to be the fulcrum at that point. But then without Barco in the team, Moreno is now free to kind of direct the play as a playmaker. So it was probably pretty freeing for him to feel that way. And I watched a little bit of the River game that he scored. He's again, when they played Racing this weekend, and he seems to be, maybe it's just because he's more enamored with River and Marcelo Gallardo, is he seems to be much more reluctant to be the man, like to carry the team.
Yeah.
And I felt like he always had that pressure on him at Lena, and it to his detriment in a way, because he seems like a very, if you build your team around Barco, then he feels like he's going to really be successful. But when you're not doing that and you're bringing in other guys, and there's, you know, he's not a, I mean, he was bought in as a marquee signing, but didn't really have the confidence, it seemed, as everyone else around him. So, I mean, I think it's good for the team right now, but we will see how it goes.
You talk about Moreno's like ability to sort of take over that game. being out from under Barco's shadow. It sounds silly to say that because I don't think he was ever in some sort of shadow, mm-hmm. but to use your analogy of the Miggy to Barco to Moreno deal, I don't think that was evidenced any more than in that free kick, the one free kick that came up, and it's like, oh, unopposed, no one's going to step up to take this. Moreno can just take the free kick, and instead of trying to put a cross in or anything, he's just going to rip it right on goal.
Yeah. I mean, it was directly at Melia, but it was pretty welcome sight to see that.
Oh, yeah. The first time in his tenure that he's been able to step up and just take the free kick without somebody up there jockeying for it over him.
It was nice to see the accuracy in the shooting, actually. I mean, we had 12 total shots, 6 of them were on target, which is a higher percentage than we usually see, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch that goal. I saw the goal. I didn't watch the River Plate game. I don't got that kind of time. But seeing the goal from Barco, it was like, ooh. In Atlanta, he would have dribbled that 3 more times and gotten it taken away from him.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have taken that shot from that far out in that angle. Like, I don't know if you saw it, Kevin, but it was a hell of a goal. Like, yeah, it was a very nice goal. It was like, where was that the past 3 years? I don't know what's going on.
I know. If he does that all season, 30
million.
33
million?
33 million. Hey, 33. Why are you trying to push it up, Kevin?
But I am pretty sure. Don't they already have a transfer fee in place to purchase him? I would imagine with the loan to purchase.
For River, yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Who was your guy's man of the match yesterday, Kevin?
Gutman for me.
Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got it spot on with Gutman as the man of the match.
I mean, think so too.
I think followed behind by, Martinez got, Joseph got his 2 assists, but I was so impressed with Sadic.
Sadic was great. So I asked on Twitter earlier for people's man of the match from yesterday. Just like, dust has settled. There's time to like, is it not just Gutman? Let's see. JR, pay no mind, saying Campbell, huge for a backup center back to do so well against the best the West has to offer. It's a fair shout. Joey Hiletto saying Gutman, the Prince of Soccer, may you J9 Gutman, tons of great performances, but he was immense. Lucas Roque saying Andrew Gutman. Rob Osry of Dirty South Soccer saying Ozzy Alonso. And I think that's an underrated shout because I think a lot of yesterday's match depended on him kind of setting the tone with that crunching tackle at the beginning. It was a super important tone setter for me. Joe Johnstone going against the grain saying Hosetto for covering Dom's ass defensively, which I think is interesting. I haven't gone back and watched the game. And then Dominic Fike's lover, saying Gutman or Joseph, but because of the way letting in a goal deflates our team, I went with Gutman. He did great.
Yeah.
In the trap, who was you guys' man of the match? Was it Gutman for everybody?
PS Hicks says Sadic was great.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say enough good things about him. I'm happy to have like nothing but glowing things to say about our team. Hopefully it lasts. Yeah. We'll see. Oh, poor Alec Can. So Kevin pinned a comment from Eric Quintana saying Alec Can being called Alex all match by the commentator, scored on 5 times. Remedy, I believe, also dispossessed that led to the goal. Rough time for the ex-AT aliens.
Is Remedy playing for Cincinnati?
No, I think he might be referencing a different game, the San Jose game. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Eric Remedy's still with San Jose.
What was the madhouse at Lot 17 tailgate in March? I guess just how crazy it was. I'm convinced that Will Bowron saw one picture of himself doing a chant at some point that got put on a billboard with his mouth open. And so now I don't even think he speaks words into the megaphone. He just wants to have that face in case another picture gets taken. Every video is just the entire time. He's got a picture, but he's got it all strung together, man. Props to him.
It's a good face though, Kev. It's a good face.
He's got it. He's ready. He's camera ready.
Yeah. He said that's he said that's my trick. I'm always screaming. I'm always triggered. That's how do you deal with being triggered? That's
I don't know how he does it, man.
I'm always triggered.
Great, though.
Brian Diefenbach saying, I just feel like overall team performance felt more like 2018, and I'm excited to see what we can do this season when we get all the parts in place. Shit, we had 60%, not even like 55% of our squad intact yesterday, something like that.
Yeah,
and still did that. Matt Wisniewski said, Andrew Gutman, Joseph, and Campbell in that order. Yeah, best atmosphere in a few seasons.
Man, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about too, was that it was the first time since COVID that it felt like I was at an Atlanta United match. Everything else has felt like, okay, we're at a game. We're clearly here. We're watching Atlanta United play. But that opener yesterday felt like it was an Atlanta United match of 2018, 2019. I mean, 69,000 strong, I think it was.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt every bit of it. It was great. It was a great atmosphere, great turnout, and a lot of support for the team that I just – it was kind of jarring, to be completely honest, having not been around that in so long. But it was a welcomed experience, to say the least. And I think it made a big difference in the game, honestly. I think that everybody was excited to play no matter what, with it being an opener, but it made a huge difference actually having everybody show out, the full stadium open, the upper tier open as well. So it made a big difference to me. And it was a really, really great day.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of like a game in Bobby Dodd where, you know, we were still learning who the players were.
Yeah,
but it was exciting to watch. I mean, this was exciting to watch, and we were kind of still learning who some of the players were.
I definitely had a few of those moments because I was like, "Yeah, I can't tell who the."
Yeah, I was trying.
Josetu's got blonde hair now.
Oh yeah, I could see Josetu, and then I usually try and match him up with the boots. So Dom Dwyer had 2019 boots on, the bright orange ones. So obviously he was. You could see him, but
can't miss Gutman's bald ass head unless him and Guzan switch. So that's an easy one to pick out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. And you know, what's even, oh, so actually before we get onto that, I did ask also just to get back into the swing of things, one positive and one negative from people on Twitter. John Nason saying positive, what appears to be four quality fullbacks, which I think Mateo had posted in the trap. At one point we had four fullbacks on the field, obviously not all playing fullback, but just another versatility that Brooks Lennon and Caleb Wiley have to be able to be fit into, kind of forward positions, is pretty great. And the fact that we have a lot of depth, at those positions right now is awesome. I mean, Ronald Hernandez, I felt like played really well yesterday too. I think he's a guy we're not talking about.
I was very impressed with Hernandez, and I wasn't expecting to be. I've always looked at him as the backup to Lennon, but I feel like this game has put him in a little bit more serious contention in that competition for right back. Yeah, I was impressed with him. I didn't realize he seems to have put on some muscle since last time I saw him.
Yeah,
He looks great. He was, you know, kind of a really good balance for Gutman, as he was well balanced up and down the field, being threatening on offense and then being able to be challenging in defense and in the midfield as well. So I was surprised to see his good performance.
Yeah, his negative with Brazilian hamstrings. Yeah. I feel like that has been.
Gosh, I hope Araujo's all right, man.
Yeah. Elliot Beaven, he's one of our own, saying positions Atlanta won and Dom Dwyer scoring, negative Araujo's injury, seems to be kind of across the board. Joey Hileto, positive. Joseph looks fit, negative Araujo injury. Random takeaway, Campbell looked better than Robinson. An overreaction, Caleb Wiley will start at left back for the U.S. in the 2026 World Cup. I don't think that's that far-fetched.
Yeah, I think I saw MLS Buzz tweeted something like, we're not talking enough about how Atlanta United took Miles Robinson into the lab and cloned him into George Campbell. And saying George Campbell will play for the U.S.
Hell yeah, he will. I still, again, he's our best prospect. He's an outstanding player. Brian Olivas, sad Los Angeles Lakers fan, saying positive bald excellence in the form of Gutman being a baller, and the negative Luis, no, he can have my hamstring. I think I saw multiple people offering up a hamstring replacement, as if my hamstring wouldn't snap under duress of his athleticism. It would snap like in an instant.
Step on the field.
Yeah, immediate. It would be immediate. And then Jonathan D. Williams saying, positive team win, Gutman, Moreno's passing. It's positives, and I asked for one. Negative, Luis. Yeah, seems to be, again, across the board.
Ooh, tough call from Brittany here. I don't think that you're pulling Lennon anytime soon if he's match ready personally, though. But she was saying that she was about to say Hernandez over Lennon. I can't talk tonight from now on. Or is that too soon to call? Too soon for me.
I don't know. I would like to see what Brooks Lennon does in a more advanced position.
Lennon's distribution, I think, is just so... I think it's integral to Joseph's success for them to link up and how great he's been in years past. I haven't seen that out of Hernandez yet.
I think it's a little bit more time, but it's a great problem to have. The nice thing is Lennon gives us, as we've seen, a little bit more winger depth.
Yeah.
Which was really great to see. I mean, he was threatening also, in the final third. So I think probably a little bit too soon. We'll kind of see where things go. But man, he's a hell of a backup.
Yeah.
No, to say the least. And that's the other thing. Again, seeing the versatility that Brooks Lennon has to be able to come in and play midfield if we need him to, and being able to still have him and Ronald Hernandez playing together. Like I think Ronald Hernandez, I think they could easily switch too, because I think he's good enough going forward too.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so I think just the amount of options that Gonzalo Pineda finds himself with, and just having like the savvy that he has as a manager in MLS, it's very exciting.
I think it's good that I think Longshore said it on the full-time report, is it doesn't matter too much where they play. It's the fact that we've bought in soccer players, like players who can play more than one position, and it's really good to see. We're not just trying to get specialists in that will only play in one position. We're trying to get, like, we talk about T-shaped people, but they're like D-shaped, so they've got that's right, Kevin, they've got more talent in more areas.
Now time for the download.
Speaking of D-shaped.
Speaking of shaped Ds.
Oh, did you take it? Did you take our old Manscaped thing out of here? Damn it.
No, I didn't.
It's not on here.
But then, anyway. Of course, we want some structure there, because that hadn't happened in the past with Barco. Maybe Barco's just been the problem the whole time.
Speaking of D-shaped people, that's brought to you by Manscaped.
It is not brought to you by Manscaped. It's definitely not.
We're going to have a pretty weak Dan load tonight while he's recharging his shot for next week. Coming back from travel, it'll take him some time to build it back up. He's still in another time zone, so you got to give it. Reset your clocks, folks. Next week, he'll be back and ready for it. But for this week, they are calling for snow in the matchup against Colorado, which means the orange ball will be back. Or at least we hope, right?
It'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, Colorado, I guess they won the West last season. And then they crashed out to Comunicados in Champions League, and then got spanked 3-0 by LAFC.
It's going to be we are going to get download hats made, but it's a white text on a white hat, so you can only see it with a black light.
No, no wonder our target audience is so thin.
Still the number one rated Atlanta United podcast on iTunes. Ooh, most rated.
Is, because baby. nobody uses iTunes anymore.
All right. Get the tears out of my eyes. I'm going to start a spreadsheet, make this easier for us to keep track of. Because last week I did, I think, 3-0 KC for the KC game.
And I said 1-0 Atlanta.
Yeah. Dan, we didn't get your score prediction. So
I said 3-1.
He said SKC loss or win.
I did. I did. I went for a 2-1 loss.
Hmm.
Well, okay. We'll all take one out of this week then.
Okay.
I mean, how great does that hat idea sound, though, for real? Let's just talk about it for a minute. We'll talk about it offline.
It'll almost like the invisible ink.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the thought.
Oh, boy.
You got to pee on the hat to get it to be able to see it.
How did Colorado do this past weekend? It was 3-0, right? They lost 3-0 to LAFC. They lost 3-0 to Carlos Vela.
Hat trick opening day. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. It's
absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, Will Belron won the comments of the night. Won't be able to wear that hat within 500 yards of a school. You want to talk about a Carlos Vela hat trick? You want to know about a real hat trick? We're talking about the invisible ink on the Dan Load hat. Man. Would you be mad if we had Dan Load hats made, Dan?
But it's got to be like we just proposed it.
Yeah,
it's
go
the
for
only
it.
Way it can happen.
Mm. No, I was thinking
I would imagine we'll sell 2 of them.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But like in a Life is Good font? Like a handwritten font?
No, I want it in Comic Sans with just a little download bar on it.
Yeah. Okay. Colorado 3-0. We're going and playing likely in the snow. Orange ball domination, as I tweeted earlier. I mean, what was it, 6-1 up against Minnesota in 2016 or 2017? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know. How are you guys feeling going into that game? What do you got score predictions wise, Kevin?
I'll say 2-1 Atlanta.
Okay. Dan?
I'm going to go 2-0.
Ooh. To Atlanta, right? Not to Colorado?
Yes, but Atlanta.
Okay. We got to figure out a better way to keep track of this, or better way to format this so I can just generate results on the fly. We're going to go with another 3-1. I think that Colorado breaks breaks the seal for this year and they get a goal in. I have a feeling like that might be as good as our back line is, like we end up, that ends up being a bugaboo. We can't keep a clean sheet. I hope that's not the case, but I guess we'll see. 4-1 Atlanta. Hileto 1-1 from Dirty Bird Person. 2-0 from Will Bowron.
So, Tim, Colorado against LAFC had 7 shots with only 1 on target.
One on target is going to get past Brad Guzan.
Well, no, I think if they score, it's going to be because Brad Guzan passes it to them or waits too late and gets tackled.
How long until Castanera comes in?
I don't think so. I think
I know. I'm just shitting. I think we're not going to know what we had until it's gone in Brad Guzan. And
oh, absolutely,
yeah. I know,
but you're getting to a point in his contract where the benefits
diminishing returns.
Yeah, exactly. Is you're paying too much for what you're getting, and it's just you're paying so much for what he's giving you. And yes, it's giving you confidence and stability, but at what cost? At a certain point in a salary cap league that you can't afford to pay those kinds of prices for a keeper that he's not the best keeper. He's certainly not the worst either. I'm not saying that, but he's, yeah, it's diminishing returns to say the least.
I'm trying to find, let me see if I can, yeah, here it is. I had retweeted it from Josiah on, let me see if I can download it real quick. It's not super easy to share an image from, or like a tab on here. I was going to, hold on, give me a second. Talk amongst yourselves. Talk amongst yourselves. See, share screen, Chrome tab. I like that.
Both said absolutely yeah. Nothing.
Okay. Matt Wisniewski said, we're all that image of the car turning the envelope up our way.
That's exactly what it is.
I don't see a problem with that.
Not at all.
I don't know that I do either.
But we've all been so starved of, you know, hope
exactly.
in Alani United fandom, and then hope. Just life in general. So
agreed. I mean, agreed.
With COVID, war in Ukraine, I mean, come on, just
I mean the stuff going on with Kanye, like yeah. I feel like it's all yeah. I mean, Steven Seagal is over in Russia, like
NFTs. Jay Riddle got an NFT tattoo, apparently. It's just yep. in cyberspace, but he's got it.
I have a full sleeve in Decentraland. Yeah, it's yeah, we
Jay
do need
sold
this,
a part of
it.
His body for an NFT tattoo.
Brittany asked, saying if Almada is playing 5-1 ATL. Just kidding, 2-1 ATL.
No, yeah. Brittany. 5-1. Yeah.
Jay that's Hannibal said want. that tattoo five is words. It's invisible ink. I don't know anything
about tattoos.
So apparently Dom Dwyer is into NFTs, and as is Jay Riddle. Matt Wisniewski saying basically we need to like curate a TED talk between the two. But, or some sort of debate or seminar.
It's like tats with Breck Shea, but it's NFTs with Dom.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, he's got to be right. I mean, this is probably his last contract.
Yeah, true. You think Dom Dwyer looked at like I guess it was 2 years ago, and he was like, he saw the horrible reception the fans gave Breck Shea. He's like, fuck that, I'm not doing that. Like, I got to come out guns blazing. Like, I can't be the scapegoat
the good news
for everybody.
Is being to Dan's point earlier, to be the number like a top. Three Orlando City podcast and the top Atlanta United podcast, we're definitely on Dom Dwyer's radar. There's no doubt about it.
I tweeted it. Always rated him. I've never slighted that man in my life. You will find no Dom Dwyer slander here, nor will you find Breck Shea slander. I am a huge Breck Shea fan, as is Breck Clayton Poss. Yeah. Breakfast.
I'm pretty sure I've slandered Dom Dwyer and most of the Orlando.
Yeah. Very excited for the season. Very excited for the podcast to be back in full swing. I say that to say I will be gone in 2 weeks, but you guys will be in good hands with Kevin and Dan. And you guys will, I guess, need Kevin just thought of a third co-host.
No, I was just thinking the fact that I will be out on the 21st. So you and I need to talk schedules. Dan, we'll talk about a guest for the day that Tim is out, and then we'll figure out. So, yeah, we got a couple of shows coming up in the month of March that we'll have some guests on. Who would you guys want to get pulled in? Be sure to tweet them and us at Home Before Dark. That's Before Spill being the number four. Give us somebody that we can get in touch with. Somebody
Alexi Lawless. Make it yeah. Alexi Lawless. Stu Holden.
Yeah.
Hey, just tweet
shoot
him.
Your shot. Shoot your shot.
Just tweet him. You never know.
Yeah. I don't know how many thumbs up do we have on this episode right now. I was going to say, everybody, before we sign off, I need the thumbs up. I need you to smash that like button. I need you to smash that like button. Would you do it for me? Would you just do it for me? Just smash it.
All
smash
right.
that like button.
Oh God.
And that's
maybe
how
you can.
Another
maybe
day.
You can do the download. Smash that like button.
The download. Just smash it.
Ooh, Liverpool. Yes, we did win the Carabao Cup yesterday. How crazy is that, that it came down to keepers? Did you guys watch, either of you guys watch the... infuriating match to watch with all the goals getting called back. But then the fact that penalties ended 11-10 is pretty insane.
I watched the first half, and then, but then I had to leave to go to the Atlanta United game. But it seemed like a great game, which is unusual for finals because they usually cagey affairs, but both teams were going for it, it seemed like. So.
Yeah, I feel like the referees kind of ruined the excitement. And like, yeah, they pulled the... you know, took the air out of both sides quite often. There were a good bit of offsides and disallowed goals. Like Virgil, like Joel Matip broke the deadlock, but I guess Virgil van Dijk was holding somebody. I don't know. Anyway, there were a couple key moments that I will point out though. Virgil van Dijk smashes his penalty against Kepa, gets it, like Kepa guesses right, but there's no chance he's going to get to it. He just stares him down like so like, just, I don't even know, man. It was intense. And then to see, I don't know. Do you know how to pronounce, I don't know how to pronounce Kelleher's first name. I'm a Liverpool fan, but I'm not
Irish. I
believe
it's Worcestershire.
It's cumin, cumin.
Oh, no, man.
Some Irish name. Liverpool. Yeah. Anyway, he scored his penalty to win. It was pretty fantastic. And then Kepa pulled a Petey Martinez and put his penalty into the stands.
Oh,
it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
So where's Alisson? Why didn't he play?
I believe, I haven't watched all the post game, but I think because Kelleher played every single game in the League Cup, that he didn't want to take that from him. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that was nice of him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I don't know what else. I don't have anything else, guys. I don't have anything else. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited too. Very excited. Very excited to be back. Very excited for a lot of things right now. So very excited that you all joined us tonight, making it a very, very great and interactive season opener in the trap. So thank you guys for doing that. And if you want to be a part of the fun shenanigans in the future, be sure to like and subscribe. Hit the bell icon on YouTube to get a notification each and every time we go live. Again, we're 3 subscribers away from 500 on YouTube and 10
reviews
away. Is that
the same amount as last week?
No, we got one more last week. I'm convinced it was Brittany S's aunt. However, it was one more from last week. So be like Brittany S and go on your aunt's account and subscribe to Home Before Dark, because every little bit helps for the algorithm. And we're 10 away from 200 reviews on, or ratings and reviews on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. So be sure to do that too. Also with your aunt's account. Who cares? Just do it. Say it was the Russians. We don't care. As long as we get them numbers, that's all.
What
we're
do we?
About,
we so. Just like write the funniest review imaginable, and we'll rate them throughout the year. Just like give them a star rating, as if you give us star ratings. Yeah.
So yeah, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us each and every week. We love the hell out of you and everybody in the trap every week. You guys, I say it each and every time, you make this show what it is, and you help drive us as much as we try to drive each other crazy. So thank you so much for tuning in with us. You can find us all online in one fashion or another. Tim, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram. Yeah, on Instagram at Tim Herb. Yeah.
Dan, what about you?
You can find me at DNJMS.
You find me at The Architect. That's at @_ARC1TECT. Find all of us collectively at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Be sure to tweet us. Let us know who and how we should run those few shows in the month of March, what guests we should have on, maybe some familiar faces, maybe some new faces. Let us know. And we're always up for suggestions on how we could do things better. So let us know and we will get on it. So until next time, as always, be home before dark.
Just want to open up YouTube and see if I'm subscribed or not.